Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Zvi Hirschfield, still in my home in Alon Shvut. And today we are going to be learning page 32A, Daf Lamed Bet Amud Aleph, still in Tractate Rosh Hashanah, the fourth chapter. We're going to begin the very top of the page with the Mishnah. Our Mishnah is dealing with the special tefillot that one recites on Rosh Hashanah, but in addition to the standard three that begin every Shmona Asrei, the blessing of Avot and Gvura and Kedusha, right? The one that mentions the patriarchs, God's powers, finishing with Mechaya Metim, the resurrection of the dead, and Kedusha, God's holiness, and the final three that deal with the standard structure of Hoda'ah. I'm sorry, before Hoda'ah, the return of the Mikdash, and return to Yerushalayim, then Hoda'ah, and then what the Mishnah will call Birkat Kohanim, but we call Sim Shalom, the blessing of peace. There's the middle section, which on Rosh Hashanah featured, in addition to the Kedushat Hayom, the blessing of Mekadesh Yisrael, the Hazmanim, that we find by every holiday, but we also, or in this case, Yom Hadin for Rosh Hashanah, we also find the Malchuyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot sections, blessings that deal with God's kingship, the fact that God remembers and knows all creatures, and Shofarot, the revelation of God's presence announced by the Shofar. And woven in to those blessings was also the tkiat shofar, the shofar blowing itself, which sort of sees the shofar not as this independent act, but rather as an act of tefillah as part of our regular verbal tefillah. And our Mishnah brings a discussion or a debate as to the structure and order of these blessings with the shofar blowing integrated with them. I should also point out, whereas our practice is to only recite these blessings, these special three blessings at Musaf, there was an opinion, the Baal Maor and some other medieval commentators who believe that one recited these extra blessings at all the tefillot of Rosh Hashanah. Here we go. Seder Brachot, this is the order of the blessings of the tefillah in Rosh Hashanah. Omer Avot Ugvurot Uktushat Hashem. Right, one recites the blessing of Magen Avraham, followed by Mechaya Metim, followed by HaMelech HaKadosh, V'cholel Malchiyot Imahen V'eno Tokea. And according to this opinion, Malchiyot would be included with Kedushat Hashem, and there would be no shofar blowing. Then Kedushat Hayom, right, Mekadesh Yisrael V'yom HaDin, and then V'tokea, blow shofar, Zichronot V'tokea, recite the Zichronot blessing, and blow shofar, shofarot, recite the shofarot blessing, the tokea, and after that, the omer avodah, the hodah, ubirkat kohanim, right? What we would say is, hamachazir shchinato letzion, hatov shimcha ulachana ela hodot, and then mevarechet emo Yisrael bashalom. These are all divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said to him, Im eno tokeh lo malchiot, lama hu maskir? If you're not going to blow shofar in connection to the malchiot blessing, why would you even bother doing it? Ella, Rabbi Akiva had a different order. Omer avot uvrot uktushat Hashem, right? Magen Avraham, Achaya Metim, Hamelech HaKadosh, v'cholel malchiot im ktushat hayom v'tokeya. In his system, the fourth blessing would be malchiot with the bracha for the day, Mavrechet Amo Yisrael, the Yom Hadin, and then V'tokea blow shofar, Zichronot and blow shofar, Shofarot and blow shofar, followed by Avodah V'hodah Birkat Kohanim. Again, the same structure, the blessing over the return of the temple service, gratitude, and then the blessing of peace. So whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had Malchiot included with Kedushat Hashem, and Rabbi Akiva had Malchiot included with Kedushat Hayom, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri did not have Tkiat Shofar for Malchiot, and Rabbi Akiva did. And now on to the Gemara. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, Neo Tekel Malchot, Lama Hu Maskir. The Mishnah has Rabbi Akiva asking Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if one does not blow shofar after the Malchot blessing, then what's the point of you mentioning it? And now the Gemara is going to question what Rabbi Akiva meant by his question. Lama Hu Maskir, Rachmana Amar Idkar. Why would he mention it? The Torah says so. Meaning Rabbi Akiva could not have been asking why say Malchot at all without Tekel shofar. There's an independent requirement to mention Malchot, derived or based on the psukim, although most Rishonim believe that the mentioning of Malchiot, Zichron, Shofar is a rabbinic requirement, since the rabbis, the sages, found a pasuk to link up to it, that's what the language here is, the Torah says to say it. Ella, what was Rabbi Akiva asking? Lama Eser, Lema Tesha, Dehoil V'Ishtane, Ishtane. Why would we recite, as we'll find out in the next Mishnah, 10 psukim in relationship to Malchiot? Let him say only 9. Since once you are changing the format, change the format. Basically, Rabbi Akiva was asking, according to the Gemara at least, that Malchiot has to have the same program as the other two. Just like Shofarot and Zichronot. They all have 10 psukim, and they all have Tkiat Shofar. The Gemara continues, Tan Rabbanan, Minayin she'omrim avot shenemar havu l'ashem b'nei ilim, u'minayin she'omrim gvurot shenemar havu l'ashem kavod v'oz, u'minayin she'omrim kedushot shenemar havu l'ashem kavod shemo hishtachavu l'ashem b'hadra kodesh. Beginning of the Braita deals with the structure of tefillah in general. How do we know that tefillah begins with the blessing for the avot, Magen Avraham? And then how come number 2 is gvurot? And how come number 3 is Kedushot, God's holiness? It's all built on the structure of Tehillim Chaf Tet, Havu Lashem B'nei Elim. And I think it's built on the idea of Havu Lashem literally means give to God. What can we offer to God? We can offer our words. And so therefore, the structure of this psalm, talking about what we're going to offer to God, has been linked up, I think, intentionally by the sages as a source of what we're going to offer to God. That tefillot are not simply a context where we ask God for things, but tefillot are also a context where we offer God praise, offer God our loyalty, offer God our love and connection. And that is why it's built around this psalm that talks about havu, render unto God or give to God. Now, the Braita continues. From where do we know, or at least have a clue or an allusion to the idea that we must recite a blessing for kingship, zichronot, God remembering everything and recalling and noticing us, and shofarot, right, the revelation of the divine presence accompanied by the shofar. From where do we know we need to recite blessings that reflect on all this? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Dichtiv, Shabbaton Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh. He is referencing the verse in Vayikra, which says as follows. Bachodesh hashvi'i b'chad l'chodesh yelachem shabbaton zichron truah mikra kodesh, right? This is the verse dealing with Rosh Hashanah in Vayikra 23. In the seventh month, in the first of that month, will be a day of shabbaton for you, a shabbat for you. Zichron truah, a day of memorial through blowing, a holy time, mikra kodesh. And now the drasha of these elements that the pasuk is referencing. Shabbaton zichron truah mikra kodesh. Shabbaton ze kedushat hayom. Shabbaton tells us it is a sanctified day. Zichron elu zichronot. The term zichron means we have to actively do the blessing of zichronot. Truah elu shofarot. And the word truah tells us to make a blessing about shofarot. And mikra kodesh kadshehu ba'asiyat melacha. It's a mikra kodesh, therefore sanctify it by not performing labor. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, we're still in the bright. Rabbi Akiva says, Mipne ma lo nemar shabbaton shvut. Why wouldn't it use the word shabbaton to refer to shvut, to resting from labor? Shabo patacha ketuv tchila, because that's the first element. Rabbi Akiva is arguing that it makes sense that the first element would sort of define what you don't do on that day, making it a festival. Then the other elements will tell you what you would do. Ella Shabbaton, rather, he darshaned the pasuk this way. Shabbaton kadsheo b'asiyat malacha. The word Shabbaton teaches us you can't do prohibited labor. Zichron elu zichronot. The term zichron tells about the zichronot blessings. Truah elu shofarot. The shofarot blessings. Mikra kodesh zok du shatayom. The term mikra kodesh means sanctify the day by making a blessing about the sanctity of the day. And now, however, there's an element that's been left out. What about Malchiyot? It was not mentioned in the Braita. So the Gemara asks, Minayin Shomri Malchiyot? From where do we know that you have to say a Malchiyot, a kingship blessing? And here, we're going to darshan in a different way. Here, right before the verse about Rosh Hashanah, Daber Bnei Yisrael Lemor B'Chodesh Hashvi B'Chad V'Chodesh, right, on the seventh month and the first day, the verse we just quoted, the previous section ended with Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You'll see why that's important in just a second. Rabbi Omer, Ani Hashem Elokeichem U'V'Chodesh Hashvi'i Zu Malchut. So Rebbe made a link, what's called a smichu, between the adjacent pasuk that says Ani Hashem Elokeichem and the pasuk about Rosh Hashanah, telling you that Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm Lord your God, connotes Malchiyot, kingship, and that's why we have to mention God's kingship on Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is the adjacent pasuk. Rav Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer Einot Tzarich. Rav Yossi Bar Yehuda says, I don't need this type of smichu, darshaning the adjacent verse. Harehu Omer Vayulachem Lazikaron Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Right? The verse says, let and you will be a memorial before God. Here, the references to the verse in Bamidbar chapter 10, talking about the blowing of the trumpets, where the verse here said, on the day of your gladness, and on your festivals and your new moons, you shall sound the trumpets over your peace offerings, and it concludes with, I am the Lord your God. So he says this verse puts all these components together. Because the verse says, Vayulachem lezikron lifnei Elohechem, it shall be a memorial to you before God. That's the verse in Bamidbar. She'ein tamud lomar ani Hashem Elokeichem. Why did the verse have to say, I am the Lord your God? It wasn't necessary there. So what's it doing there? It's bone av, means it's establishing an archetype. Anytime zichronot, the idea of memorial, which is mentioned in the verse, vayulachem lezikaron, that connects zichronot to malchiyot, ani Hashem Elokeichem in that verse. So therefore, if you have zichronot, you have malchiyot, and that is his source for why we know we have to say the malchiyot, because since we know zichronot from the pasuk of Rosh Hashanah, and the pasuk in Bamidbar teaches us that zichronot is always associated with malchiyot, therefore we need malchiyot on Rosh Hashanah as well. The Gemara continues, the Heichan Omra L'Kdushat Hayom. Right, the Gemara now wants to raise the following question. Where should the blessing of Kedushat Hayom be? Right, the Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom Hadin, the sanctity of the day. Tanya, we know from the Braita the following. Rebbe Omer, Ima Malchiyot Omra, say it with the Malchiyot blessing. Make a combination of Malchiyot and Kedushat Hayom. Ma matzino b'chol makom b'revi'it, afkan b'revi'it. Just as the blessing in a regular festival of Kedushat Hayom is always the fourth blessing, it always comes after the opening three, here too it should be the fourth blessing, so join it with Malchiyot. Rabbi Shulam ben Gamliel Omer, im hazichronot omra. No, attach it to zichronot. Ma matzino b'chol makom b'emtza, Afkan be'emsa, just like in a regular chag, it is in the middle, right? You have the opening three, the last three, and then Kedushat Hayom in the middle. So here too in Rosh Hashanah, it should be in the middle, putting it at blessing number five, because there are nine total blessings, put it at number five. And now the Gemara goes on to offer us a story. Ushakichu beitin et Hashanah ba'usha, yarad Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka lifnei Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, right? When the great Beit Din was sitting in Usha after Yavne, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka was the Shliach Tzibur, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was the Nasi, he was the head. Va'asak Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and he followed Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's understanding of the order of the blessings and the Tkiyot. Amar Rabbi Shimon, lo ayu nogin came be Yavne. That's not the minhag of Yavne. L'yom Hasheni, on the second day, Yarad Rabbi Chanina ben Osho B'Yosi Aglili, Vasak Rabbi Akiva. At that point, Rabbi Chanina, the son of B'Yosi Aglili, followed Rabbi Akiva's view. Remember going back to our Mishnah and the machloket between them. Am Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, kach hayu noagin beYavne. That is what we used to do in Yavne. Now the Gemara is going to have a question about that. The Maimer of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva Sfirale. Are you saying that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agreed with Rabbi Akiva? The Ham of Rabbi Akiva, Malchiot im Kedushat Yom. But Rabbi Akiva said that you should do the Malchiot blessing with the Kedushat Hayom. The Rabban Shimon Gamliel Mir Kedushat Yom im Zichronot Amar Lahu. Rabban Shimon Gamliel said no. He disagreed with Rabbi Akiva's view, and he said Kedushat Yom belongs to Zichronot, so it's in the five position, not in the four position as Rabbi Akiva would have it. So why would he be happy with the Rabbi Hanina following Rabbi Akiva's view? Amar Rabbi Zera Lomar Shetolkin Lamalchiot, meaning it wasn't that he was happy about. It had nothing to do with the story about where Kedushat Hayom fit in. It was about when you did Tkiyat Shofar. And the first year, he did not blow Shofar after Malchiot, following Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's view. And the second year, he followed Rabbi Akiva's view and did blow Shofar after Malchiot. And that is what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was agreeing with. Amar Rabbi Zera, Lomar Shetokin L'Malchiot, right? That is to say, you blow for the Malchiot. That's the resolution of that question. The story says on the second day, Rabbi Hanina did it the other way. My Sheni, what do you mean a second day? Ilei miyom tov Sheni, if you want to say it's the second day of Rosh Hashanah. L'meimra di'ibruha la'elul, are you saying that that year Elul was mu'bar? Meaning that the only way you'd have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah then is if on day 30 the witnesses did not come, and therefore they only made there was 30 days of Elul, and then Rosh Hashanah fell out on day 31. Aleph Tishrei was day 31, in which case you'd have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, because you'd keep the first day as sanctified in anticipation of the witnesses coming, and if they didn't come, you'd do the second day. The problem is the Hamar Rabbi Chinah ben Kana miyamot Ezra ve'elach lo masinu ela mu'ubar. From the time of Ezra till our time, we have never found that Elul had 30 days. Elul always only had 20 days, meaning the witnesses 29 days, meaning the witnesses always came on day 30. So why were they keeping 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Am Rav Chisda, my sheni liyom sheni l'shana haba. It doesn't mean the second day of Rosh Hashanah, but second day means the following year, the second Rosh Hashanah, where they had all gathered together. The implication here is that when the calendar was determined by witnesses coming, especially after the Takana of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, they never had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. However, this presumably only means in the place of the Beit Din itself, because even if they sanctified the day 30 as Rosh Hashanah, making it day 1 of Tishrei, they'd have no way of informing the rest of the Jewish people. Therefore, the assumption of the commentaries is that the rest of the Jewish people always kept 2 days, because you wouldn't know for sure if the Adim had come. And it was only in the place of what's called the Beit Vad, where the Beit Din HaGadol sat and declared the new moon, they'd only keep 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, but everybody else kept 2 days. Now, this created a machloket, a debate in the later period about keeping 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. The Gaonim of Bavel believed that everybody had to keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, even in the days of a calendar, because even when there wasn't a calendar, it was only the people in the Beit Din itself that only kept 1 day. Everybody else kept 2 days. It became a fixed minhag, and therefore everyone keeps 2 days. The Gaonim of Eretz Yisrael, however, disagreed, and they believed that once we had an established calendar, since everybody knew, everybody in effect became similar to the place of the Beit Din. If you knew for sure Rosh Hashanah was only 1 day, you didn't keep 2 days. When Nachmanides came to the land of Israel, he discovered they were only keeping 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, and he informed them very quickly that that was the wrong thing to do. And from that time, the widespread practice has been 2 days of Rosh Hashanah for everyone. Okay, we are now going to go on to the next Mishnah. Ein pochatin ma'asara malchuyot, ma'asara zichronot, ma'asara shofarot. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, imar shalosh, shalosh, shalosh mikulan, then one has fulfilled their obligation. We're going to discover later what the question of what he means by three in a little bit. But the Mishnah here is talking about the requirement to recite 10 psukim associated with the themes of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot in the context of the blessing. The idea is that to fulfill our requirement for this blessing, we have to recite Psukim, and that's what the Gemara is going to talk about. Hani Asra Malchio Keneged Mi, why we need 10 references of Psukim for Malchio, for God's kingship. What is that based on? Amar Rabbi Keneged Asara Hilim Shamar Davi B'Sefer Tehilim. Like before, we are going back to the book of Tehilim, in this case, Tehilim 150, to be our source for how we should model our tefillot. So therefore, we are now referencing the 10 Hilulim, the 10 hallelujahs mentioned in Psalm 150 as our model for the number 10. Hilulim tu vahavu, the Gemara says, but wait a minute, there are more than 10 hilulim. Hanach dichtibu halluhu beteka shofar. We are referencing the ones, there's the verse in not all of Tehillim, but Tehillim 150, which has in it Hallelu B'Tekel Shofar, praise him with the sounding of the shofar. So the number of Halleluhos or Hallelujahs mentioned in Psalm 150 becomes our model. Rav Yosef Amar Keneged Aseret HaDibrot, Shenemru L'Moshe Mesinai, the number 10 comes from the 10 commandments given to Moshe at Sinai. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Keneged Asara Mamrot Shebehem Nivra Olam. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's the 10 statements of God through which God created the world. Hey Ninhu Vayomer, Vayomer Debreshu Tishahavu. Are you saying you're referring to the number of times Vayomer appears? But there are only 9, not 10. Breshit Nami Mamarhu Dichti Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. Breshit Bara Elohim is also a statement of God, because God made, as the verse says, God's spoken word created the Shamayim. What I think is interesting to note here is sort of the different models of what's happening in the tefillah. If it's based on hallelujah, we're talking about praise. We're praising God as king. If we're talking about the Aseret HaDibrot, really we're talking about mitzvot. We're talking about God as a king who is the lawgiver. And if we are talking about the Asara Ma'amarot, the 10 statements in Breishit, we're talking about God as the king who creates. So each one ends up sort of informing us of like a different element of the relationship between us and God as king. Now we turn towards the latter part of the Mishnah, dealing with the number of verses. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Imamar Shalosh, Shalosh Mikulan Yatsa. If you said 3 sets of 3, you have fulfilled the obligation. Of course, the question is, we want to know, what did he mean? Ibai Lahu, there was a question asked in the Beit Midrash. Hechi Katani, Shalosh Min HaTorah, Shalosh Min HaNevim, Shalosh Min HaKtuvim, Davutesha, Vike Ben Ayuchada. Did he mean to say, in each section, in Shofarot and in Zichronot and Malchiot, I don't know why I said them backwards, but I did, you need 3 sets of 3, meaning 3 psukim from the Torah, 3 from the prophets, and 3 from the writings, which would mean the only difference between the Tanakam Ruch Menuri is a total of 1. Tanakama said 10 psukim, he holds 1 pasuk. O Dilma, Echa Miatorav, Echa Mianavim, Echa Miaktuvim. Did he mean you only need 1 pasuk from the Torah, 1 from Navi, and 1 from Ktuvim? To Havyan Lu Shalosh, that was the 3 he meant. And therefore, when he said 3 sets of 3, he was referring to all 3 sections at the same time, but each section only required 3 psukim. In which case, the Ike Benayu Tuva, there's a much greater difference. In each section, the Tanakam will require 10 psukim, and Reuchan Ben Nuri will require 3 psukim. Tashma, to come, we'll come in here, we're going to resolve this safek, this doubt. To Tanya, you know from a Braita, Ein Pochatin Masara Malchiot, Masara Zichronot, Masara Shofarot. The Imamar, Sheva Mikulan Yatsa, Keneged Shiva Rikiim. So the opinion says you don't say less than 10. Even if you want to shorten it, you don't do less than 10 psukim for Malchio, 10 for Zichron, 10 for Shofarot. But if you said 7 for all of them, you have fulfilled your requirement, because 7 at least reflects the 7 heavens, the 7 distinctions of God's realm. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Amar HaPochet Lo Yifchot Mesheva. The one who's doing less should not do less than 7. V'imamar Shalosh Mikulan Yatsa. Keneged Torah Nevim and Ketuvim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, if you're going to do less, don't do less than 7. And if you do 3 From all of them, you have fulfilled your obligation. Now, Rashi explains the seven here must mean the total for the whole section. Don't do less than seven for the whole section. And therefore, and if you said three for all of them, then you fulfilled your obligation. So since the seven must refer to the total and not seven from the Torah, seven from Nevi'im, and seven from Ketuvim, because nobody would hold any 21 psukim, when he said shalosh of shalosh, that must have also been referring to the entire unit, which means that each unit minimally, according to Yochanan ben Nuri, requires three psukim. And it sounds like ideally he would say, nine psukim or something like that. And the three is connected to symbolize Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, Va'amrei Leh, and others say the symbolism of three is Keneged Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, to symbolize Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. So either it's about the Torah to be symbolized, the Tanakh, or it's a symbol of the Jewish people. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Shmuel, Rav Huna said in Rav Shmuel, Halacha, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, the Halacha actually follows Yochanan ben Nuri and not the Tanakhama. Next time we'll pick up the very bottom of this page, beginning with the new Mishnah. Thank you for joining.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.